Teachers Talking Tech is sponsored in part by StartDot, a handwriting app and online resource for teachers and children. Learn more at startdothandwriting.com.
Hey out there, this is Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
Today we're going to be talking about flexible seating in your classroom. And this was one of those things that Mike and I just started looking into this year.
Right. Yeah, we've been talking about flexible seating and you know, innovative ways to change your classroom up. And so, you know, we're probably on a budget, so our flexible seating does not look like some people's flexible seating, but Eric's been using stability balls in his classroom for several years. I've got stools, and I allow my kids to go to different places in the classroom to sit on the floor or against the wall or whatever. So we're kind of embracing it on a budget, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and we've had representatives come in with really cool furniture.
Amazing stuff out there, yeah.
Yeah, and it is just one of those things that it is such a high cost to replace all the furniture in a school that many teachers do need to do it on a budget. Now, the teacher we're going to interview today, when we asked her, we actually knew her from a tech conference that we had done, and she's a very innovative teacher.
We wanted to hear like some of her strategies. What is she doing that's different than what we're doing, and how did she get it going? And
exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's just not anybody. It's so new and such an idea that people are just kind of feeling it out. I don't know if there is anybody out there that would be an expert per se, and it really depends on, you know, what grade level you're doing as well. It looks a lot different from kindergarten than it does from middle school or high school.
Yeah, and there are so many factors, like you said. The grade you teach, the amount of money you have to purchase furniture or flexible seating options in your classroom, your district's buy-in or not buy-in. So,
exactly. And the other thing is, like, when you hear her talk about it, she's totally an expert. Like she,
absolutely.
Like, even after doing it for a year, like she does what we all do when we innovate. She like made mistakes. She learned from them. She dove in and just said, "Let's just do this." Those are all the things that we keep coming back to, no matter what our show topic is.
Right.
These themes of innovation keep coming up.
Yeah, that underlying theme of innovation is always there.
It is. So let's get down to it. So this is our interview with Marnie Lambitz. Welcome to Marnie Lambitz, who is our special guest today, and Mike's on the line, too. Marnie, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a first grade teacher. This is my ninth year of teaching, and I teach in Thornapple Kellogg Schools. So our school setup is a little bit different. So we're a young five kindergarten first grade building. So being first grade, we're the oldest in the school.
Nice. They get to walk tall even at 6 years old, like they're big, big people on campus. Nice. Well, let's start off by talking about the beginnings, which is, why did you decide to investigate flexible seating as an option for your kids?
So my style of teaching has kind of evolved quite a bit, even though I've only been at it 9 years, which doesn't seem like very long compared to, you know, what a lot of people have been at it for. But I feel like I've changed a lot as the curriculum has changed as well and as students have changed. So my style has evolved more to like giving students a lot more choice in their learning and freedom and making their lessons more individualized. So flexible seating sort of seemed to fit very well into that philosophy. I think that when they have more choice in their learning and in their learning styles, they are more motivated and more willing to put forth their best effort as they're more comfortable. So I kind of decided to investigate flexible seating as sort of an extension of that to see if that would help them to feel more comfortable and able to learn, as not everybody learns the same way.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like, we've talked about Seesaw a ton on our podcast, and I know you are a big Seesaw user as well. That kind of fits right in to the flexible seating idea and student-centered classroom as well.
Yes, definitely. That's how I make all my individualization happen, actually.
Nice.
Couldn't be possible without Seesaw.
What was the reaction that your students had and your parents and other staff members when you started doing flexible seating or brought it up as an idea?
So that was actually a kind of a hesitation of mine, among some other things, but I just wasn't sure how anyone would react to it. I don't have many teachers in my building who are like active on social media or go to conferences where sort of like innovative thinking is happening. So many of them, it's sort of a foreign concept. I knew administration would be supportive because they are supportive of really everything that we do. But parents in particular, I thought they might be a little bit hesitant having their six-year-old, possibly only their second year of school, come into this non-traditional style classroom. So Seesaw actually is a way I introduced it. When I sent home my welcome letters in August, I had put like tour videos on Seesaw and also still pictures. And I invited the parents to get logged into Seesaw as my way of getting them to sign up, and told them that if they signed their child up before open house, they would get sort of a sneak peek of the classroom. And I used that sort of to explain flexible seating, as well explain the concept behind it and some of our seating options.
Well, that's a good idea. I think
so. No one was surprised coming at open house.
Yeah, and I think that kind of giving parents information, like I know I do an information night at the beginning of the year, and not even about curriculum, but just about how our classroom runs, and the more you can kind of front load that, the less you feel like you're on the defensive, you know, trying to explain how you do things.
Exactly. And I had a few parents at open house just comment about like how amazing that was and how their child has struggled in kindergarten, and they were excited to see that. For example, their child could choose to stand while they learn or things like that, and they thought their child would be more successful, and it is proving to be that. So,
if you could take us on, like, a tour of your room, what does it look like?
So, that was another hesitation when I started flexible seating, because I every time I saw flexible seating out there, it always seemed to have a lot of funding behind it and cool options and really big classroom spaces. My classroom is just standard. It's not large by any means, but you know, it's just standard size. So I just decided to like dive in and kind of deal with whatever funds I had at the moment. So I had all desks, and so I traded a couple teachers that were willing. I traded them some desks for some of their tables, and I raised some tables up. So I have a couple tables that are raised to like a standing level. However, some students don't, they want to stand sometimes, but not all the time. So I got a couple stools at IKEA, and those are at the standing table. So if they want to stand, they just push them under the table. If they want to sit, they pull them out. They were like $4.99 at IKEA. So, you know, I purchased those. And then other tables, I took the legs, like the bottom part of the leg off and lowered them down and put like rubber stoppers on the bottom so they wouldn't rip the carpet. And so those are like floor sitting tables. And for those, students have the option of grabbing, they're like cushy, like bleacher seats, like you take to a football game. I have some of those. I actually have, my parents had them, kept them from my high school days. So I asked my parents if I could have them. And students can choose to sit on those. I like those surfaces better than like pillows because they're wipeable. And then I still have some desks, but they're turned around backwards so the students don't open them. But just for like standard level seating. And then I have like a carpet space on both ends of the classroom where students can spread out. They can lay down. I also have like random stacks of chairs that the students can use, and they can grab it if it's like their day is how we have to do it. It's based on like numbers. So it's like I have six extra chairs, and if it happens to be their day, they can grab an extra chair if they are like at the floor table where they don't have a chair. And they can pull it into the carpet area. And their favorite thing to do actually is to flip the chairs upside down and use them as kind of a lounge chair and sort of lay back in them. And I have extra cushions for their backs to go on the chairs. It's kind of hard to picture it in your head, but it's on my social media.
Yeah, I've seen that on your Twitter feed. That's a really cool way for the kids to do something a little different and still be, you know, sitting in the area, the carpet area there.
Well, if you would send us some pictures, we would definitely put them up on our Facebook page so that people could visit from there if they don't follow you on Twitter and kind of get a visual picture. Great.
So you talked about it a little bit with parents, but what are some of the positive changes you've seen in your classroom? I mean, I know in my classroom, when I just instituted a letting the kids go wherever they kind of wanted to work, I just saw a lot of behavior issues disappear. And so I would like to hear some of the things that you've got a chance to see as well.
Yeah, and that's actually how I started kind of like dabbling in flexible seating. That was last year. I just kind of let them move where they wanted to when like I was not doing a whole group activity, which I don't do a lot of whole group. A lot of it's more individualized. So that's kind of how I started last year. And then this year, the students are just, it really feels more of like a family feel, which I've always tried to create, but I feel like they feel more respected because I give their choices and their opinions like weight in the classroom. So I don't have a lot of behavior issues in terms of that. And I wasn't sure at 6 years old if they would really understand the idea of it and if they would be like arguing, not understanding like that the floor table is full and that they have to pick somewhere else. So I wasn't sure how that would all go, but they actually have, each student has a number in their in the classroom. So it's like their iPad number. And that's sort of how we get, who gets first pick of the day. So like 1 through 5 gets first pick today, then 6 through, 10 get first pick tomorrow. So that's kind of alleviated some of the anxiety of like, oh, is it, am I ever going to get the cool stool table that I want to be at or something like that. So, the kids really seem to respect each other and their choices. And they understand that if they don't get the choice first today, then that's okay. They'll just find a different spot, or maybe they can move there later if their friend chooses to move away. But everybody just seems to be very, they just feel ownership, and they don't feel like I'm barking orders at them all the time. Like, you must sit here, you must sit on your pockets in this chair and be attentive right. during the lecture. It's just very fluid. So I think that they feel kind of grown up in that someone's actually giving them some choice and some say in how they do things.
Can I ask another follow-up to that, Marnie?
Sure.
Do your students have any type of like a seat that is assigned to them at all, or is it always just open?
It is always open. And that was a big hesitation of mine too, was with 6 year olds, like, what do you do when they come in first thing in the morning and you're welcoming the kids? Cause my kids, there's about a 20 minute span where they stream in. And so, when they come in the morning, they find the first spot. They know if someone's items are there, that means that the spot's taken, whether it be their iPad or their, if they've got their pencil box there, that spot's just taken and they move on to a different spot. Then that's just kind of for our morning work, morning routine, while everyone's getting settled in and picking lunches and things. Mm-hmm. And then when we gather for our morning meeting, when we disperse from that, that's when they go by their numbers. And I'll say, okay, like 1 through 5, go get your things and find your spot. 6 through 10, go get your things and find your spot. And then that's kind of how we go from there. But when they first come in, it's just sort of a free-for-all. And okay. they can go wherever they want to. And then we pick kind of like more our stationary seats. So, and then they can move out. So they kind of have a home base for the day once they pick their seats, and then they can move from there. If we're doing time and they see that a standing table is open and they prefer to stand where they write, then they go over there, or they go stand at the counter or something. But they don't have like their items at a specific spot either. That was a big challenge too. I had the maintenance department build me shelves, like from some of my bookshelves, so that they would have like a bin to keep their stuff stored in. But then, of course, that not having permanent seats poses a problem as well for substitute teachers, because there's no name tags. Mm-hmm. So I 3D printed each kid a name tag stand. So each kid has a 3D printed name tag stand that can then sit with them at the carpet. If there's a sub, obviously we all know each other's names at this point, but if there's a sub, they can move it at the carpet, they can move it to the counter, and they can have their little name tag stand wherever. So it helps the subs then still have names around, even though the kids don't have a specific seating arrangement that the sub can look at and say who the kid's name is.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's one way you know that you're talking to an innovative teacher, when they 3D printed their kids' name tags.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was once I got my class list, it was quite a project, because they took six and a half hours apiece. So
wow.
It was my life for about 2 weeks.
Nice. So you talked about some of your challenges. So let's move on to the next one, which what's one thing you wish you had known going into it that you kind of had to find out the hard way?
I guess like the biggest thing I wish I would have known was that like it's not that hard. It's not that scary. And I wish I would have done sooner, because it's been so positive. I was just really concerned about, well, where are the kids going to put their items, and are they going to argue, and are parents going to be supportive? And it's just, I needed to just dive in and not be so worried about that. Mm-hmm. And things to learn the hard way, I guess it would just be more like, for example, like the floor table. everybody was gravitating towards that. And so it's really only a good spot for like six kids to work. So I think I needed to say better in the beginning, you know, when if you see six kids there, you move on to the next spot because they just like crowd each other out if you don't give them some sort of limits of like how many bodies should be in a certain space, because they just, you know, kind of pack in like sardines. Yeah. And then they don't have room to work. So I think that was a big thing, just making sure that they understood exactly how many kids could go at a space when there's not like a defined, like, here's a seat. You know, if it's sort of just more of an open table or a countertop, like how much space should be between you and the friend beside you so you have enough room to spread out and do your job and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Just going for it. That's what I've always kind of told teachers. We've talked about it in another podcast is, hey, just go for it. It's going to figure itself out and it's going to be okay. And it's really not that difficult. So I would agree with you 100% on that.
Well, and if it doesn't feel scary, it's probably not very innovative. You know, that's one of the hallmarks of innovation is that
right.
You're going to feel that way no matter what.
I figure if it fails, this is kind of how I look at everything I try, then all it is a learning experience for the kids and for me that even adults don't have the answers all the time. We all make mistakes. We all need to change and adapt, and that's okay. So I don't really worry about failing in front of the students. It's just kind of a teachable moment.
If you had 5 minutes to go in front of the school board or the administration to try to convince them to implement flexible seating, what are some of the things you would say?
If I had that opportunity, I think what would be most impactful would be to have students come in actually and talk about their experiences. One thing that I do is we have an analog Twitter wall in my classroom, and it's where students kind of share like their thoughts and feelings at the beginning of every day. And sometimes I'll just kind of ask them like for like a check-in of what they're loving about flexible seating, what's their favorite spot, that sort of thing. And some of the things that they have to say are so interesting to hear, like why they like the stool seat and things like that. But some of the students who typically have struggled the most in the past or have been seen as behavior issues and things, it's because they were trying to be like a square peg into a round hole. Like you have to sit here and be still. And it's just allows students to learn the way that they feel comfortable learning. And it's okay that everybody's individual, that some kids move and learn and other kids sit still and learn. Neither way is right or wrong. It just was what makes them individuals. So I think that for the school board or administration to see the empowerment that it gives students to feel like it's okay to learn their own way. And if that's what makes them successful, then that's great to be an individual and do that sort of thing. So I think that would be my biggest thing, was just how important it is to individualize instruction for the students to help them on their path. And if a student needs something, I think it's fair to give that to them. If they need to be able to stand while they learn, let them stand while they learn.
Hey, Marnie, before you go, make sure you give everybody your Twitter handle so they can follow you on Twitter and see some of the amazing things you're doing in your classroom, not just with flexible seating, but everything you're doing.
Well, thanks. It's M Lambitz, so MLAMB as in boy, ITZ. And that's actually my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Snapchat, which I actually use Snapchat a lot more because it's faster. So I actually snap a lot of my flexible seating in my Snapchats.
Nice. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today. And we definitely cannot wait to see your pictures. And I hope it gives us some ideas, because I know that Mike and I, and I'm sure a lot of other people who are listening, want to try this in their classroom too, because it just kind of goes along with technology and innovation. That student-centered aspect of it, I think this really fits into that. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I just want to say again, another big thank you to Marnie for joining us. I think Mike and I learned so much from talking to her in this conversation.
Yeah, just talking to her gave me two or three more ideas I can implement in my classroom tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope that you got something out of it, too. Don't forget to check our Facebook page. We'll hopefully have some pictures up there from Marnie's classroom. And also, great way to contact us if you want to hear some different ideas in our shows. If you want to just reach out and contact us, we'd love to hear from you. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go on Twitter. We are @TeachSomeTech. You can email us at TeachersTalkingTech@gmail.com. And again, we would love to hear from you. All right. With that, I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
Thanks for listening.